And we are back on the KYMN Morning Show. We have a couple of guests in our studios right now. We'd like to welcome Jeff Applequist is a graduate of Carleton College and is also a I was looking at your bio. You do a lot of things. You have a lot of titles. What are you currently doing?
Right now, I'm focused on teaching leadership and designing experiential learning programs based on historical venues. So I actually I've had a long corporate career, but now I'm taking corporate teams out to historic sites like the Gettysburg and Little Bighorn battlefields and the Lewis and Clark Trail in Montana and so forth, and creating a multi-day leadership experience. That's sort of how I'm making my living at this point.
All right. And that brings us to our other guest, which is a noted explorer and Will Steger, Arctic explorer. Will, thank you so much for coming in
today.
Great
to be here. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Now, we're having you. You're both in town to do a speech at Carleton College tonight. Why don't we start off by giving you a little promo of what people could expect and what the topic is.
Yeah, well, Jeff is, his background is in business leadership, and mine is in expedition leadership. So we're combining the two together, and this is our first presentation together. We've been talking about this for a long time. So this is going to be a very interesting evening at six at Carleton tonight. But so we're combining the combinations and are talking about our life's experience in those different areas.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. It has to do with leadership. And I'm sure there is you can give a talk for an hour or two, and that's one thing, but to build and develop new leaders, a new generation of leaders, take a little bit more than that. And tell us what your overall program and your goals are.
Well, our overall goal is to develop a program that will be run out of Ely, Will's homestead up in northern Minnesota. And this would be a multi-day thing, and we'd invite leaders from business, from academe, from government, nonprofits, any field of endeavor to come up and talk about leadership, innovate, overcome hopefully their organizational challenges, maybe even the world's challenges. So the three-day pilot is in the works for next year. And prior to that, we're wanting to get out on the keynote speaking circuit. And tonight is sort of the first effort around that at the White Center on Carleton campus, 6:30 tonight. And it's free and open to the public. So we invite anyone who's interested to come and talk with us.
It sounds like a very interesting night. I would love to attend to that, and I might very well do that if I have the opportunity tonight. Let's talk a little bit about Will. Why don't we familiarize some people with your background? They know that you're an Arctic explorer. It's well, you have a famous name for that. But you have how many times have you been to the Arctic? And what is it, just vacation for you? Do you scientific study? Let's tell us about that.
Well, I've been traveling the Arctic since 1963 when I was a kid. So, and I've been to both poles, Greenland, all the ice caps. I'm a Minnesota kid, so that's kind of not a direct connection, but cool weather in the north. And expeditions for me, most of the major expeditions I did were really scientific and educational. And it was usually built around drawing world attention to a particular area, like the preservation of Antarctic, the treaty in 1990. So I used the expeditions as a platform that garnered, support and attention to the educational program or the science that we were doing. And I was always involved in climate change, the global warming. I taught actually climate in my classes in the 60s when I was a school teacher in Richfield. And so I've also become an eyewitness of all the changes in the Arctic. And 20 years ago, when the Larsen Ice Shelf broke up, a huge ice shelf in Antarctica, that was my call to action. And then ever since then, the last 20 years, I've been working in climate. But leadership has always been a very important part of everything I do. Setting the example first of all as a person, but leading expeditions and programs like that. And my main legacy, my main goal in my life actually is, and I've been working on this for about 30 years, is building a convening center, like a Camp David of the wilderness up in Ely. So, and my goal there was to bring leaders leadership and policymakers, national, international policymakers. And Jeff and I connected about 3 years ago through a mutual friend, and it was a kind of a natural relationship that we built up. I'm very interested in the knowledge that Jeff has and his leadership approach, and I think maybe vice versa. Mm-hmm. So we decided to, you know, to first lecture a little bit to get more acquainted and talk to more people, and then eventually starting next year to do our first pilot programs up in Ely.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's next year already. Let's talk about the leadership, a portion of this. What are some of the, I guess, the skills and the mm-hmm. traits that you look to develop within people?
Well, it's interesting. I have written several books over the years and focused on a range of what I call leadership dimensions, including things like establishing a common purpose, relationships and trust, communication, decision-making, all the things that good leaders need to do. And when Will and I, Matt, got together, it was fascinating because he had sort of a list of leadership dimensions that he thought were important as well. And it was a virtual match. So I think we're in agreement that these are the things that good leaders need to do. Tonight, we'll talk specifically about establishing a lofty goal and also the importance of relationships, teamwork, and trust, just two of the leadership dimensions that we both agree are mm-hmm. critically important for teams and leaders to be successful.
Jeff Appelquist and Will Steeker are our guests today. Once again, they will be speaking tonight at Carleton. We'll have more on that in just a moment or so. Let's go back to, you'd mentioned the Wilderness Center. That has been, I know, an ongoing thing with you for I don't know how many years. When did you start that? And tell us a little bit about the Steeker Wilderness Center.
Well, actually, you know, I started in 1988, actual building it. I lived off-road. In other words, two lakes, 3 miles from the nearest road. So we actually tried to build it dog sledding in 1,000,000 pounds of sand and gravel that first winter for Ooh. Training for Antarctica. But that we put a road in, and so I've been building the last 34 years on it. But it's been a goal all my life. In education, I've always felt that I could make the biggest impact in my life if I could reach, you know, the top-level leadership. So it's been an ongoing development of that. I haven't been too public on it. You know, my expeditions were basically, in many ways, means to an end to build up the center and build up to a point where you can actually draw people to come up and see it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the activity. That can anybody just go up there? Is it focused on groups or children or adults or business?
Yeah, it's mainly it's going to be higher level leadership. It's not because it's a really sensitive wilderness. You can't accommodate, you know, continual large groups of people. So mm-hmm. it's not like a nature center. It's more of a invitation type thing. I also work a lot in the summer and in jobs training and for the inner city, north side of Minneapolis. We do a lot of women's courses and that. And so we do a lot of jobs manual type training in the trades in the summer. And that's where we get our main population of people come in. But the main educational or the leadership courses, as we see, are going to be for smaller groups, you know, probably the range of 12 to 16.
All right. Once again, Will Steeker and Jeff Appelquist are with us, speaking tonight at Carleton College. We've got a few minutes. I want to get into a little more with you, Will, about your attraction to cold weather. You know, Minnesotan, like I've lived in Minnesota for 36 years now. It'll be 36 years on Saturday. And you get used to the cold weather, and then you get kind of burnt out. I'm speaking for myself. Yeah. I get kind of burnt out on that, and I'd like to go to a colder or warmer climate. Yeah. You have chosen the Arctic and the Antarctic and some cold weather. What is the attraction?
Well, you know, there's two types of cold weather in Minnesota. One is living in the city, and that's, you know, I've spent 6 months all the year in the city, and then you're basically fighting the winter all the time. I mean, you have to dress up, you got a hassle starting your car and doing all that. But in the wilderness, it's more, you know, you just go with it. When it snows, you travel over it. You don't have to start a car. So the wilderness, to me, the real wilderness is really a pleasant place to live in. I mean, cold you have to adapt around certain temperatures and so forth, But I mean, once you have the skills and the knowledge of traveling, there's the presence of the wilderness and that type of a setting is what attracts me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of I live two forms of life. I'm in society, working on nonprofits, education, I do that a lot, and I really enjoy that, you know, the civilized world. But I also like to round that out with wilderness travel. Right now, presently, I'm just, because I'm committed on what Jeff and Iris commitment on leadership and building out the center, I take solos in the spring. In other words, I travel alone. And the reason I do solo is a couple of reasons. It's simple. It's something I can just basically fly up, fly into, and dropped off. And either I make myself out in a village or I'm picked up by a plane, and then I'm out 60 days later, and then I'm back into my everyday life. So I wouldn't call it a vacation, but it's a way where I really regenerate a lot. And I do share this with everybody. I call in every day, so I do have a following. That's a big part of it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's real important to me to share and educate people on the things that I see and what I'm witnessing.
You will be embarking on one of those solo trips here in the very near future, going up to, north of, is it Great Bear Lake?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
In a couple weeks from now. Great Bear Lake is one of the largest freshwater lakes in the world. It's in Northwest Territories, right on the Arctic Circle. So it's a very extremely wild area. So I'm going to be flown into there. And we're being dropped off with 60 days of food. I have to travel about 800 miles to get out to a village. So I'll be traveling during the breakup season. I'll be there at the very tail end of winter. And then I'm traveling on the rivers when they're breaking up. And then eventually I have a small portable raft, 10-pound raft. I'll float out at the end to get out. But people can follow if they want. I have a Will Steger Facebook or stegercenter.org is my organization. You can just Google my name, and another 2 weeks from now there'll be a link if anyone wants to follow that trip.
All right. That is, are you walking this whole time, or snowshoeing, or are you canoeing? How that 800 miles is...
Yep.
It's a good trek.
Yeah, I'm actually experiencing almost three seasons in, 60 days. I start off hauling three small sleds, about 240 pounds. Most of it's food, about, three-fourths of it's food and fuel. And then as it breaks up, before I used to haul a canoe with runners. So in between season, I could go both ice and water, and then I would canoe out. But I have the capacity with the raft that I'm bringing. It compacts down almost like a sleeping bag, but it weighs 10 pounds. That gives me the ability then, once it does break out, providing I'm in an area where, I'm going downriver, I can float out, get out, so I'm able to travel through that whole. Mm-hmm. I experienced the whole migration of waterfowl, which is millions and millions of waterfowl migrate into these areas. It's almost like the Serengeti. So I'm there mm-hmm. before. I greet them when they come in. And during that 60-day period, I see the mating process, the nesting, then the birthing, and then the training of the flights. And when I'm out, the young are in the air, and I'm flying back to Minneapolis.
Wow, it's fascinating. Now, while you're there, you're bringing some food. Do you have to live off the land? Do you catch fish or do hunting, or is it all stuff you bring?
You pretty much have to be self-contained. I'll be able to fish at the end because of the rivers and the mm-hmm. lakes will be open. So, but I'll have to rely a little bit on fish towards the end. But you pretty much have to be self-reliant on carrying your food in.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the capacity, especially in the winter, to live off the land. I mean, the hunting there is for natives only, so the white people don't hunt mm-hmm. in these regions. I mean, out of respect for the communities there, so you have to be self-contained when you go in.
I want to ask you about the long term. What you've seen long term? You'd mentioned back in the early 1960s was the first time you'd ventured out to the Arctic. Yeah. You've been there many times since then. Have you witnessed the effects of climate change in the areas that you have been, either in the Arctic or Antarctic?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I just can't find the words for the changes. I mean, the Arctic Ocean, which used to be a frozen ocean, size of the United States and Mexico. I've been on it to the pole four times in my life, and you no longer can make it to the pole from land. I mean, it's an open ocean, 40% of its ice, floating ice in the summer, but it's open now. Antarctica, these large ice shelves that I've traveled on have all disappeared. I've done some geographic firsts in my life. But those firsts are no longer possible to do because they're actually the last. The routes don't exist anymore. So I've seen, I've been the eyewitness, and I took that eyewitness story to the public 20 years ago. And, and I think it was our story, the stories of the adventure and the eyewitness at that time drew attention to the climate change. And now, we all have our own eyewitness stories because we're all seeing it ourselves down here. And what we're seeing are the extremes. Mm-hmm. And, it's all around us. California, Mississippi, the huge tornado that just went through and all this. It's changed totally. The Arctic is much different than what it was in just surprisingly a short distance. It, in the last 20 years, has been quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're just about out of time, gentlemen. I could talk to you all day about
thanks
this.
Thanks for having us.
But I do want to check in one more time and get some more information about the event tonight. Jeff, maybe you could...
Sure. The title of it is Exploring Leadership, Leadership Lessons from the Wilderness Expeditions of Will Steger. And it is at the White Center on the Carleton campus. At 6:30 p.m., we will start. We'll talk for, I don't know, we haven't done it before, so maybe an hour or so, and then we'll do certainly some Q&A. But it is free and open to the public, so anyone who's interested, we encourage you to come on out tonight and hear our talk.
And that is fascinating. You are actually a Carleton grad.
I am, 1980 Carleton grad.
1980.
Correct. It's great to be back on campus.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for stopping in. Is there anything else? I guess we have about 60 seconds. Is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you here?
Well, fine. Yep.
All right. Thank you
enjoy
so much for coming.
You,
it's
Jeff.
Been very enjoyable, and we will look forward to maybe seeing you tonight.
Okay. Thanks.
Good. Thank you.
95.1 FM and AM 1080, KYMN Northfield. That was Will Steger and